Well, good morning. I didn't realize this until just a little while ago, but I wasn't here last Sunday. You'd think I'd know that already, but I was back Wednesday for our Bible study Wednesday night, so I didn't even think about the fact that I wasn't here last Sunday until somebody came up to me. I think it was Tim came up to me. Well, how was your vacation? And I want you to know it was really good, and it was really cold, and it snowed on us. And I got to see the lights of Silver Dollar City and the Stampede, Dolly Parton Stampede. Got to see all that through my granddaughter's eyes. Because I'd seen it 100 times before, but through my granddaughter's eyes is amazing. And it was great. And my wife asked me, said, "Did you enjoy your vacation?" I said, "Yes, I did. As long as I'm with my family, I enjoy it." And that's exactly how that went. So I am glad to be back with you. I'm glad to be here. And as I told you before I left to go on vacation, is that I had a request for a lesson on the Holy Spirit. And Bob asked for that, but I also have found out since then that many have been asking for lessons on the Holy Spirit. I told Bob that I couldn't do it. I couldn't give a lesson on the Holy Spirit. And he said, and of course, everybody says, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Because it's more than one lesson." So I'm going to do three lessons on the Holy Spirit. Three lessons on the Holy Spirit. And the first one here is going to be kind of an overview of the Holy Spirit. The second one is going to be the Holy Spirit during New Testament times. And then the third one is going to be the Holy Spirit today. How the Holy Spirit works in us today. Does the Holy Spirit work in us today? You better believe it. You better believe it. The Holy Spirit is active. Now, I want to tell you all this because the Holy Spirit is very much misunderstood. And that's kind of the best terminology I can use for that. It's very misunderstood. There's a lot out there about the Holy Spirit that is really not biblical. That people put in there and they say, "Okay, this is the Holy Spirit," when it's really not the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you this example. We go down to Lake Washita a lot, down by Hot Springs. You know, we got a little place down there and everything. We like to stay there. As a matter of fact, I drove in from there this morning, so I've been up since 4 o'clock. That's why I was yawning, by the way. But anyway, we drove in this morning. But one of the things that we did one time was that this little waitress that we absolutely loved invited us to come to church with her because she was going to be singing a solo in church. She was going to be performing in church. And so me and my wife and my son, who was young at the time, he was about 6, 7, somewhere in that range, we decided that we would go. We'll go. So we go and we see her perform and everything, and then the preacher gets up there to preach. And he starts off and he says, "God is big." And then he said it again. "God is big." And every time he said it, he got a little louder. And he kept repeating it over and over again. And then he changed a word. He says, "God is omnipresent." And then the people in the audience started shouting amen and stuff. And they started playing the piano and they started playing the drums and they started doing all these things. And I'm going, okay, this is a little different than what I'm used to. And my son leaned over, the 6, 7-year-old son. He leans over to me. He says, "Dad, is he drunk?" And I just looked at him and said, well, he's filled with something. I want you to know that a lot of the things that we hear about in the Holy Spirit is just not biblical, okay? And so what I want to do is I want to clear up some things dealing with the Holy Spirit. But also I want you to realize that with the Holy Spirit, people in the churches of Christ don't typically like to talk about Him much. And the reason why is because there's so much sensationalism out there in the world. We don't like to talk about Revelation very much. Because again, there's so much sensationalism out there in the world, we kind of separate ourselves from that. And I also want you to know that there have been divisions among churches over the issue of the Holy Spirit. Every time I get with this one friend of mine, he wants to talk about the Holy Spirit. And he wants to talk about the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm good to talk with him. But he has a hard time comprehending exactly what that means and exactly what that is. Because he's hearing something from one church, he's hearing something from another church, and they don't coincide with each other. So what I want to do is I want to help you along the way. But I want to start out by telling you, without a doubt, that the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is active. And if you've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son for the remission of sin, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. In you. And so I want you to know that that Holy Spirit, as Jesus calls Him, the Comforter, the Helper, is here to help you today. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Now let's take a look. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit itself is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "For us to go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It is three. But notice this also. The three are one. This is where people really have a hard time understanding. The three are one in that they all have one purpose. And what is that purpose? It is to do the will of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are here to do the will of God. Jesus Christ Himself said, "Not my will, but let your will be done." They are all one. And we must understand exactly what that one purpose is. The one purpose is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. Every person to be saved. That is the purpose of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is to bring all of mankind to salvation. When it says that God so loved the world, He wanted His children, we are His children, He wanted His children to be with Him, and therefore, He sent His Son. Why? To pay our debt. To pay our debt. And in a minute, I'm going to talk to you about the Spirit. He is there for one purpose. And that one purpose is that all should be saved. All purpose is for all to be saved. That is God's will for you. That is God's will for me. That is God's will for the entire world, that all should be saved. So they are all one in that they work together for that one purpose, the salvation of all mankind. But notice this also. They are all separate as well. This is something very important for us to see. Each one have different jobs that they must do to serve God. Now notice this. In James chapter 1 verse 13 it says this. God cannot be tempted. Therefore, and I'm going to tell it like it is, God could not pay our debt for sin. Because God could not be tempted. Only one who could overcome sin could pay our debt for sin. Does that make sense to everybody? Jesus had to be tempted. He was made flesh so that he might be tempted. And unless he is tempted, he could not overcome sin. God cannot be tempted. James 1:13 tells us this. And the reason why is because God is spirit. Only flesh can be tempted. So therefore, Jesus has to overcome temptation in order to pay our debt for sin. That's how that works. So understand, Jesus had a purpose to overcome sin and temptation in order to pay our debt. That's Jesus Christ. Without that, we could not have salvation. Because we ourselves would still owe our debt for sin. Therefore, Jesus came to this earth in order to pay our debt so that we might have salvation. What's God's goal? That none should perish. None should perish. So Jesus was sent by God in the flesh to overcome temptation. Now I heard people say one time, I heard this minister say one time, which I disagree with, by the way. I'm just going to tell you that up front, and I don't mind telling them when I disagree with them. But I disagreed with him because he said, well, Jesus really couldn't be tempted because he was God. Well, he was Emmanuel, but he was also flesh. He felt pain. He felt suffering. He said on the cross, I thirst. He said in Matthew chapter 4 that he was hungry. All these things that we feel today, he was tempted. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. Yet he was without sin. Therefore, he overcame it in order so that our debt would be paid. And I shout glory, hallelujah for that. Because that is something that we have to have in order to have salvation. Now, I want to look today specifically at three jobs that the Holy Spirit has in order to kind of give you an overview of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Three very specific jobs that the Holy Spirit has. Now, in those three jobs, I also want you to realize this. The Holy Spirit is not mentioned very much in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is not mentioned very much in the Old Testament. There is only three times in the Old Testament that the term Holy Spirit is even used. But we hear this a lot in the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is indeed the Spirit of the Lord. And that Spirit was used in the Old Testament oftentimes just exactly the way it is used today. And one of the things that we need to remember is that what was the Old Testament law? Paul talks about it, and he says it was our schoolmaster. It was our schoolmaster. Because he says, I would not have known what sin was or what coveting was had not the law taught me. So therefore, the Old Testament law was our schoolmaster. It taught us what sin is. The Old Testament law also taught us this, that none of us are perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Old Testament law speaks specifically about our sins, that all of us fall short. But also, look at this. The Old Testament law also teaches us that we have to have a Savior. Because without that Savior, we are guilty of our sins. Now I tell you this because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is used primarily in this way. But it is also used in this way today. Now, the first thing that the Holy Spirit does, it convicts us. Those of us who have been baptized that are in this audience today, think about that for just 1 minute. Why were you baptized? I want you to know why. Because you were convicted of your sins. You were baptized because you were convicted of your sins. Remember what we read back several weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, talking about the fear of God? The fear of God brings about all what? Understanding, wisdom, knowledge. It brings that about because we start to understand exactly what we are. What we face, that we realize that we are lost without a Savior. And so the first thing that is up there that I want you to see is this. The Holy Spirit convicts us regarding sin. It lets us know what sin is. And I want to tell you this because it doesn't necessarily always have to be written down in the Scripture to know that that's sin. For example, is there anything written about the internet in the Bible? But I want you to know there's some things on the internet that you don't need to be looking at. And we know that's sin. We also know that that's lust, as Jesus talks about it. We also know that this is a mindset that we need to reject. How do we know that? Not because the Scripture said it, specifically about the internet, but because the Holy Spirit guides us. And so we know that we shouldn't be involved in those type things. That we need to step away from those type things. So the Holy Spirit is active today in letting us know that sometimes there's things out there that may not be written in the Scripture, but what does it do? It tells us, you don't need to be a part of that. I've told you before, you know, me being the the sports enthusiast that I am, there are times that I'm watching the Razorbacks and I have to turn them off. Amen. I didn't have to turn them off yesterday. But there are times that I have to do that. And the reason why I have to do that is because I know that they're getting me worked up and I need to turn that off. And then I turn it back on later to see if they're doing any better. And if they're not, I turn it right back off again. Yesterday, I didn't have a problem. Watched the whole game. Well, I tell you that because it's not that the Bible tells me that I need to turn that off. It's oftentimes the Holy Spirit's guiding me. Letting me know that if I continue to do that, I'm going to fall into temptation. I'm going to fall into sin. There are times when I was growing up, in high school and in college, that my friends would come to me and say, "Hey, Steve, let's go out here and do this." No. Don't need to. Because I knew what they were after. I knew where they were going. I knew what they were wanting to do. And I didn't need to be a part of it. That's the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin. That it's out there. And I need to stay away from it. Notice this one. The Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. Are you a Christian? If you are, then what you need to be is Christ-like. In every aspect. The Holy Spirit convicts us that Jesus Christ is the example that we should be following. Because He was perfect in all ways. He was tempted, yet He was without sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of what is righteousness. And all I have to do is open up the Bible and read about Jesus Christ, and I see righteousness right in front of me. Open up the Bible and read about God in the Old Testament, and you see righteousness right in front of you. Realize what righteousness is. It's there. It dwells among us today. We are in the presence of righteousness. And the third thing it tells us, convicts us of, is this. There's a place for Satan, and I don't want to go there. Jesus has overcome the world. God has overcome the world. The Spirit teaches us that unless we step out away from the world, then our place will be with Satan. Stand apart. It convicts us of sin. It lets us know exactly what righteousness is. And it also tells us about judgment. That if you stand with God, you have nothing to fear. But if you stand aside of God or away from God, you will be judged just like Satan. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is convict us. The second thing, which I really like, and I've seen it in my lifetime, is it confirms us as children of God. The Holy Spirit groans with us. The Holy Spirit is there with us. And the Holy Spirit stands before the throne of God confessing that we are God's children. We are His children. Therefore, like heirs with Jesus Christ, we are the Holy Spirit within us. Therefore, we know that we have a place with Him in eternity, because God dwells in the Spirit with us. This makes me feel wonderful, because I know, folks, that I am a child of God. Yeah. I can tell you right here, right now, that we are children of God. And it's not what I have done, but it's what God has done for me. Paul says, I can boast in nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that's what I boast in, because I know the Spirit dwells within me. And therefore, we are confirmed that we are God's children. And the last thing that I want to put up here on the board is something else that I've seen within my life. When I read the scripture today, I am now a proud 62 years old. Notice I said a proud 62. I don't mind telling you how old I am. My wife's grandmother was 98 when she passed away, and she used to tell everybody exactly how old she was, and she said, I earned every day of it. And that's kind of how I feel. I earned every day of it. So I don't mind telling you. But I also want you to know this, that I have been a preacher, full-time, basically, preacher, I don't know, 20-something years? And every day that I read the scripture, I still learn something new. Do you learn something new when you open the Bible? You should. Every day that I open up that scripture, I learn something new. And so the Holy Spirit does this. The Holy Spirit conforms us to walk better every day. Tim, you read something this morning about Paul's prayer for them. We walk every day according to the Spirit, not the flesh. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. Nor do I want to be the same person I was 20 years ago. I used to run 6 miles a day. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done with that. Yeah. I gave up exercise for Lent. Back about 1998. No, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be the way I was back then. And the reason why I don't want to be the way I was back then is because I have grown in faith, in knowledge, in wisdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have grown. And let me tell you this. If you saw me back 20 years ago and saw me preach back 20 years ago, I preach different now. I'm a lot more confident now. I'm a lot happier now, because I know I walk with God. The Spirit helps me to walk with Him. The Spirit guides me. The Spirit picks me up when I fall. The Spirit brings me to knowledge. And I want that to continue to grow. Every day. Every day. Now, I want to end this morning with a little teaser for next week. We're talking a little bit about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. We'll talk about what that was and what that's all about. But in John chapter 16, notice what Jesus says here. Jesus tells them that if I do not leave the Helper, the Spirit, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now understand that through the Old Testament and through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see the Holy Spirit. We see Him working. We see Him leading. Jesus has even said in Matthew chapter 4 that He was led by the Spirit. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from the time of conception. Realize that the Spirit was active then. But when we start talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't just for the prophets of old. But today it's for us as well. And so, where I'm leaving you is that next week, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit during New Testament times. What it did, what it led them to, and how it brought us to where we are today. And then the final, in 2 weeks, will be the Holy Spirit today. Don't miss any of those. I hope you will be back. Realize that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit confirms that we are God's children. And the Holy Spirit guides us to walk as Christ walked. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need for baptism, to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, to gain the Holy Spirit within you, it's time to do it while together we